And welcome to the Sportscast, April 11th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please subscribe, leave a rating, and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us at thesportscast.net. We got an article about a running back in Louisiana that might do well in the draft this year. The Masters has arrived, that time of year. Of course, a lot of things going on in like the world of sports. March Madness ended on Monday. NBA playoffs begins this weekend. But the Masters are taking over the weekend. Well, like the start of the weekend. And Tyler Turner is actually our golf commentator. Tyler, welcome back to the Sportscast.
What's up, dude? How you doing?
So the Masters, obviously, you know, is really hyped up. I've been hearing good things about Tiger. What do you think is going to happen this year?
Well, I mean, first day is almost in the books. You have some guys that are still finishing up, like Kisner, Kutcher, Johnson, Poulter. Koepka's actually still out there. I think he's the last one to tee off. It's the biggest. The Masters is the biggest, just like Wimbledon's the biggest in tennis, and Indy 500 is the biggest in Formula, and Daytona 500 is the biggest in NASCAR, the biggest in golf, and the most longest tournament is the Masters. So in Augusta, it's you got a great field. You have all the best, like literally all the best golfers in the world. They make sure if they don't miss one tournament, it's the Masters. And I think it's going to be a great year. I think you're going to have. I'm just looking for some fireworks on final day.
The scorecard read 70, a 2-under start for Tiger Woods at this Masters.
Yep.
It might not sound overly impressive, especially given what he has done around this place in his career. But the moment he walked off the 18th green, shook hands with playing partners John Rahm and Hao Teng Lee, Woods stood just one shot off the lead at a tournament he has not won since 2005. Do you think he's going to buzz this year?
I mean, it was not a bad day. I watched pretty much his whole entire round. He did miss some putts. Up until the last couple holes, he really hit the ball well off the tee. His short game was really good. His mid-range game, his iron game, was really good. He did miss some putts, missed a couple putts that he possibly could have made in the front nine. He missed a bogey. He ended up getting a bogey. I think it was on the 17th hole on a putt that I really thought he maybe should have gotten. He made a crazy putt for birdie on the 14th. But he drove the ball pretty well. Most of his shots were right in the freeway. Freeway, I don't know, but right in the middle of the freeway, I think is what they call it.
That's Los Angeles.
And then actually out of the bunker, he made a couple really nice shots out of the bunker. So in general, it was just a pretty solid day. It wasn't like an amazing round, but no one did. Right now, the leaders are 3-under, and they're good players. Adam Scott. I don't know. Has he won a Masters? I know he's won a couple majors.
What's his name?
I think Adam Scott has. Adam Scott.
Double check on that.
I think he won a Masters before. He's in the lead. John Rahm's the guy who's been pretty good the last few years. He's tied to the lead. And then, you still have Fowler's tied with Woods. He's a very good player. You got Dustin Johnson, who still has six holes left. He's also obviously one of the best players in the world. Koepka, who's been tremendous in majors the last couple of years. He's tied with Woods currently, and he still has eight holes left. Who else to watch? Well, McIlroy is probably the favorite, playing very well. Coming into the tournament, he did not have a great day though. He shot one over. So that was a guy that was a little bit surprising. Garcia, who's the defending champion, he shot one over. I saw he had a double bogey on one hole. It was a little bit of an up and down day for him. Spieth with four over through 10 holes. Oh my goodness! Justin Rose with okay. I'm not even watching this, but obviously Rose and Spieth. These are two of the better golfers in the world. Who's number one right now? It might even be Rose. But four over, he's not having a good day. So that's kind of shocking. Spieth was not playing very well. Spieth has not been playing very well recently. Obviously, he won the Masters before. but not a great start to his day. So it's kind of interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it is. Like, if you were to ask me off the go who I would have picked to win it, I might have leaned a little towards Dustin Johnson because he's playing pretty well. You know, he's one of the best golfers in the world. He has been for the last several years. And he's having a pretty good start to the day. So I think that's someone to really, like, you know, keep an eye on. Koepke's great in the majors, man. I don't think the Masters plays to his strength as well, but he's still, you know, he's won three majors over the last couple of years. So I think Koepke's the guy to keep an eye on. And, I think Scott could possibly. He's a guy that could be a wild card. Fowler's a wild card. So there's a lot of good people, but obviously Tiger Woods is who I'm rooting for. And I think Tiger, if he can play like he did, if he can drop a couple of those putts that he did not drop, yeah, I think he has a chance to win it. I mean, he's up one off the lead after day number one. We'll see how the final card shows up, but I don't think he'll be far off the lead. There's no one that's playing out of their mind right now. So, yeah, I think he'll be in the race, in my opinion.
Who do you think will finish off in the top three?
I'm allowed to pick Tiger. I'm going to say Tiger because I want to. I'm going to say Dustin Johnson, and I am going to say Ricky Fowler. You never know if Rory plays pretty well here, and he's playing really well right now. Would not be shocked if he came back into it. He's only one over. But I'm going to say Fowler, Johnson, and Woods in the top three. We'll see if I'm right.
Adam Scott won in 2004.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. He's won two majors, correct?
Oh, gosh. What's a major?
I think he won the Masters, and I believe he won, if I'm not mistaken. He won the U.S. Open.
U.S. Open 2015. No. Was it 2-4? No, was it 2-4 2015? And he was second in the Open Championship in 2012.
Hold on. Let me pull it up while I'm on the phone with you. Adam Scott. Not that guy, golfer.
Adam Scott. He's from Australia?
Adam Scott. Yep, yeah. Australian. He used to be one of the best players in the world. He's kind of teetered off the last several years. Mm-hmm. He has not been one of the higher rated. He only won a Masters. He was in the final. He was second at U.S. Open. He had a couple third place finishes at the PGA. He had a fourth place finish at the U.S. Open. But he played pretty well at the PGA last year. I think he was in the lead going into the final day when Koepke won it last year and Woods is second. He's a good player. He's not been that great over the last several years, but he's a guy that possibly keep an eye on. But I'm going to say Dustin Johnson. I mean, Dustin Johnson has not won the most majors, but he's definitely one of the best golfers in the world. I think he's currently rated, if he's not one, he's like, what is he rated right now? I don't know.
Number
four. He's only won. He's rated number five, Justin Johnson.
Just saying a random number.
Oh, okay. Let's say golf ratings. I'm gonna pull these up. I'm on the phone with you.
It's okay. You have an iPhone X, right? iPhone 10.
Rose is number one, which is shocking that he's playing so bad. Number two is Johnson. Number three is McIlroy. The McIlroy's playing really well. McIlroy's won a couple tournaments already this year. And Rose has played very well. So Rose is always one of the best players. But he's playing terrible today. He's four over through 10. Yeah, it's really bad. Stenson played really bad today, too. So there's a couple guys that are pretty good that really have not had a good day. So, yeah, seeing Rose, I mean, Rose is a guy that if you would have, before I saw that score, four over, I mean, he's a great golfer. He's obviously the number one golfer in the world. He was the number one rated guy at the end of last season. So he won the trophy for being number one at the end of the season. He's been in the top of many majors for the last three, 4 years. He either wins it or is in the top five. I mean, he's one of the best golfers in the world. But when I saw that negative four, plus four, I was like, holy cow, he's playing terrible. But he's a guy that you never know. He can definitely come back and still get back in it. Because there's the leader right now is only three under. So let's say Rose, you know, in the back nine, shoots a couple under and goes in maybe like two over or one over, he'll be fine. He could come back. You could see Dustin Rose make a run for it. But bad start, really bad start. I don't know why such a bad start, but yeah, really bad start for him, though.
And the Masters ends on Sunday, right?
Yep, correct.
Correct, okay. So we'll be definitely taking a look at that throughout the weekend. Of course, Tyler will give us a recap next week.
Yep.
And leading up to the NFL Draft Big Show, that's coming up in a few weeks. But anyways,
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we may have up to four people. We'll see how it goes. It's gonna be pretty wild. But
do you know what your it's just the first round, correct?
Yes, first round. Yeah, I'm
so going second. Do you have any idea right now what your first round looks like, or you kind of just
all I have is Kyler Murray and Nick Bosa in the top two. And
all right.
And then I think the guy from Alabama, Glennon, I think that guy might go
up. You mean Quentin Williams?
Yeah, I think he's going to go up there, but I have to figure out the place.
Yeah, I think I'd probably put him about four, and I'd put Josh Allen at three. I'm pretty sure my top four already.
Yeah, it's I don't know where Haskins is going to go.
There's smoke, there's fire. He does not sound like teams are as much in love with him as people want to project.
I know.
I don't think he goes top 10. I don't think he goes to the Giants. I think he goes behind Drew Lock.
Wow. And people thought Drew Lock sucked.
They did?
I mean, people like who I talked to were just like, he doesn't have a good arm. I don't know.
Doesn't have a good arm. Oh my gosh, he's the best. He's the best. Really? Who said that?
Actually, it was a Dolphin fan, maybe, but.
Well, he was inconsistent. I will admit, at times he was inconsistent in college. But good arm. He's a great arm. And he's a good athlete, too.
Anyways.
And he's good size.
Let's save this energy for next week, but I'm really looking forward to it. Let's go March Madness on Monday. Saw the whole game, went overtime. Virginia beat Texas Tech 85-77. It was close towards the end of the fourth quarter, but then overtime, Virginia had more depth, and they just won it. What did you think about the match?
Crazy. Yeah, it was a great game. It was defensive, but did better offense than I thought. I thought Virginia pretty much was the better team the whole game, but they almost lost that game.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that three-pointer by Hunter at the end of regulation, they would have lost. Despite, I thought, pretty much the whole game they were either in the lead or Texas Tech would keep on coming back and Virginia would be in lead and Texas Tech would come back. And they had a couple players that played really good, but as a whole, they didn't shoot great as a team. But, they made the three, and then by overtime, Virginia. I felt good because I'm like, I thought Virginia played the better game. And I would have been kind of like pissed because I'll be like, Texas Tech kind of stole that one if they would have won. So it kind of felt good to see the team that I thought was a little better team and had played a little better game. But Virginia got lucky. Let's be honest. Virginia could have lost Purdue. They had a last second shot at the end of regulation put that into overtime. They were about ready to lose to Auburn. They got fouled on a three-pointer and won by 1 point. And they almost lost again to Texas Tech and make that last second three to bring it into overtime. And I tell you what, man, three games in a row that Virginia easily could have lost. And they won, so it's pretty cool.
You had Virginia going to the national championship. I'm actually reviewing your bracket right now, and you had them going there.
I had North Carolina. I had Virginia going to the Final Four.
Well, actually, like the sportscast version, which we did it live, you had Virginia going up against Duke.
Really?
Wait, hold on.
Oh, I picked Virginia.
I did.
Really? Maybe I did. Yeah, maybe I did.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, you did.
The other bracket I didn't. The other bracket I picked Virginia losing Final Four. So I guess I had a change of heart. Now, where did I finish, by the way? What were the final rankings?
I believe, who won it? You know, it's funny because I only see you, me, and this other guy, Vic. I don't see Ryan, or I don't see Riley. So I don't know
Why? Remember we had that other bracket? Remember we had that other bracket though?
Yeah.
That had everyone?
I don't understand. I mean, I you know, went to it and I can't. Hold on, let me double check. You don't wait, the sportscast. Yeah, hold on, I'm going. My group results. Okay, I see it. Okay, I came in third. I was tied with third. You were also in third. Riley came in second, and the first one was Gryfinder Hulkamac. Hulkamaniacs. School Huckster.
Is that Brian?
I think that's Riley.
Oh, Riley won it.
Yeah, I think he did two brackets. Interesting.
He did two. Nice.
Anyways. But yeah, well deserved. I think, you know, I think all of us pretty much had Virginia in the top four. Texas Tech, I guess, was not in your vicinity. Let me check where you had Texas Tech.
No, 32. I know in my one bracket I had them losing to Buffalo in the field of 32.
Yeah, it's quite astonishing. A couple upsets. I think, you know, Duke, you know, you were saying in the chat that, you know, Duke, you know, never looked that good.
You know what? It. Yeah. Well, you know, obviously I picked them to win it, but when I was seeing how they're playing on a game-to-game basis, like, they could have lost to UCF.
Yeah.
Probably actually should have lost to UCF. They almost lost to – who did they play in the Sweet 16 again?
Sweet 16.
I'm drawing a blank.
Michigan State, was it? No.
No, they lost in the Elite Eight to Michigan State.
Yeah.
Who did they beat in the –
Virginia Tech.
In the Sweet – yeah, they almost lost that game.
Yeah.
So they almost lost to UCF. Probably should have lost. They almost lost to Virginia Tech. I was like, they're not going to win. And they lost the next game to Michigan State. Now, I was really disappointed. Michigan State really did not play well against – like, I thought Michigan State really – after I saw them play Duke and how they were playing, I thought Michigan State, like, if you had had me pick from there, I had them finishing – I had them losing to Virginia because more than I thought Virginia – I wanted to Virginia to win. But I actually thought they might win it all. But then they really didn't play very good in the Final Four game.
You had against Buffalo beating Texas Tech. That's where you stopped.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yep.
So, yep. But, yeah, surprisingly, what'd you think overall of the tournament? Was a good one? You know, was it different from the other years? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was good. It was predictable at first and then a little unpredictable in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight round. And then – you know, anytime you have a number one seed win the tournament, then that's kind of like you have one of the best teams win it. So, you know, it was good. I thought it was a good tournament. Good teams played in the Final Four, and good team won it, and it was good. I wasn't one of the most memorable. There wasn't, like, a ton of, like, wow, those shots are just crazy. Like, but, you know, it was a good tournament. It was very good.
What'd you think about Auburn's performance? I think they had a good chance in the Final Four, but they just that committed that foul at the end.
They almost won. I mean, you could argue that they should have won. So,
I was pulling for them, too.
You were? Oh, not me.
Well, if you're anti-Alabama, why not, right?
I will rarely root for the SEC in any sport.
The Ducks had a good performance. You know, they went to the Elite Eight, right?
They went to Sweet 16. I'm not a big, like, when it comes to basketball, though, Oregon's not my team necessarily. It's Morgan Zaga.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
The Ducks, I mean, I like the Ducks, but if it was the Ducks between Gonzaga, I'd probably root for Gonzaga to win.
Well. We'll see where Virginia is. I mean, Virginia did a good job. Obviously, your wife is from Charlottesville, so she must have been very happy about it if she really cared. But
she didn't care that much, to be honest with you.
I watched that game. I had to watch, like, overtime. I had to see the whole game. I was about to skip it. It's like, I'm tired. No, I want to see it.
Yeah, nice.
So, big news today. Nick Bosa, he's projected to be in the top two. He was first projected to be number one, but now he's beat number two. Has opened up about his politics in an in-depth interview published on Wednesday. He regularly tweeted about supporting President Trump and his disdain for jobless activist quarterback Colin Kaepernick. It was revealed to ESPN he deleted those tweets over fears he may not be fully embraced by the city of San Francisco, which is known as to be a liberal haven, should get drafted to the 49ers at the end of the month, which he is expected to. He told ESPN, I had to. There's a chance I might end up in San Francisco. Do you think he should have done that?
No. I think, I mean, what makes it, it just this over-censoring, self-censoring or actual censoring of people when it comes to social media, when it comes to just like in general speaking out. I think it's first and foremost, anytime I hear censoring on speaking out, I automatically think of censoring on freedom of speech. Everyone's allowed to give their opinion. That's the beauty of America. It's granted to us in the First Amendment in the Constitution that our founding fathers so aptly put in there. So it's a blessing. It's something that's truly it's a blessing for this society being American society and Western. It has been a blessing for Western civilization in general. So I don't agree with it. No, and another thing is it has nothing to do with someone's competency on the football field. Yeah. So if they're a good player, that's what matters most. Second of all, do they have good character? Are they someone that gets in trouble with the law, has issues getting along with teammates or coaches? Like, that's second. Political beliefs, who cares? If you're someone that gets along well with your teammates, gets a lot well-coached, hard worker, good character person, and is a good football player, that's what matters. Because they vote Republican or they vote Democrat, who cares?
Yeah,
I don't care. It's an athletic event. What matters is how you are on the field of play of the particular sport that you are playing. That's all that matters. Your political activism. I've said before, I don't like necessarily when athletes give their political opinions because sometimes, like, they're allowed to. They're allowed to speak. It's fine. Sometimes they act like they know what they're talking about when they don't. You see, understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I personally am like, man, maybe we shouldn't talk because they'll say something that I actually know is factually inaccurate. They'll make a statement. I'm like, that's not accurate. So maybe they should fact check before talking. But they have that right due to freedom of speech.
Yeah, and plus.
Go ahead.
Plus, I mean, I don't really listen to athletes for their political views. I mean, I don't. I mean, I'm not saying they don't have much knowledge to it, but I don't know, you know, I mean, they're pretty much focused on their sport day to day. So
I mean, are you really going to turn on a podcast wanting athletes to, man, what's his opinion on, like, this policy?
Right.
Like, oh, man, what's his policy of illegal immigration? No, because more than likely, they're going to regurgitate something they heard from mainstream media and be completely out of touch. I've heard it. LeBron's the king of it. LeBron's opinion. Yeah. LeBron has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, for goodness sake, he's running around wearing a Beto O'Rourke hat. Beto O'Rourke was, when Beto was running for senator in Texas against Ted Cruz, I'm like, why is LeBron James, a resident of California, wearing a hat for a guy that lives in Texas? That doesn't, I mean, he can't even vote for Beto O'Rourke. He's not a constituent of Texas. So, most of the time, they don't even know what they're doing. They're just like their agent or the publication or someone is maybe telling them to speak out, and so they do it. I've really come to think that I think a lot of these individuals, and I know CAA, which represents athletes, represents actors, they're known to have a lot of political activists within the agency community at CAA. So I notice a lot of people that are represented by CAA. Creative artists, if you wonder who it is, yeah, in LA. I notice a lot of people that they represent talk out a lot. And I think that's honestly being told to them by their agents. Like, I want you to speak out on this issue. And so they do it. And so that's kind of a trickle down effect, whether it's in music, sports, or in acting, entertainment industry. But yes, I really do not care what an athlete or an actor or a musician, because more than likely, I would say about 90% of the time, 95, they don't really know what they're talking about.
Yeah. And
like if you fact check their comments, it's like, ooh, that's not even accurate. So yeah. If someone's, yeah, you're why, I mean, you're prudent to not speak on, like, that's like me. If you're going to start a podcast on biochemical engineering, And I'm like, San Diego, have me on there. So I want to talk. And you're like, what do you know about biochemical engineering? I'm like, jack squat. But you know what? Whatever. I'll talk. Well, I have the freedom to talk. You have the freedom to allow me to talk. But is anyone that really is interested in biochemical engineering going to think, do we know what the heck we're talking about? No.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's probably wise not to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think you know, every player has a right to say something. I think, you know, Bosa should have kept it. I think other players in his team and around the NFL talk, you know, both ways, you know, both sides of the coin. So
yeah.
Definitely, I don't think he should be worried about it. I don't think no one's threatening him not to draft him. I don't think the Niners are looking for talent, not for what you've tweeted. So, but.
I just hope it doesn't get to the place where your political opinions.
Yeah.
Bosa
has played three. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, the one thing I was going to say, actually, when it comes to NFL owners, I think a lot of them are predominantly actually Republican, to be honest with you. So
yeah,
he actually might not even go against you if it's the owner.
Well, maybe
the
except the Niners. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. Who is the owner of the Niners?
I don't know. I got to double check on that. All 49ers right. Owner. It's probably one of those. Owner is Jed York.
I mean, that
York.
Is very liberal.
Jed York is an American sports executive who is the current CEO of the Niners. York is a son of, I guess he's just another investor. I don't know much about him, but his name is York.
Oh, he's young.
Oh, yeah, he's
wow,
young.
He's younger.
University of Notre Dame. He's 39. Crap.
Wow.
Well, I don't know if he really.
Let me look. I'm going to do a quick look. They do politically donate. He went to Notre Dame, by the way.
Yeah.
The kids, he came from a wealthy family. Oh, they're pretty liberal. They donated money to Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton's campaign. So, yeah, maybe that's why.
maybe he talked to him. Anyways,
yeah.
Nick Bosa played three seasons for Ohio State, expected to be in the top three. He was once predicted to be the first pick in the draft, but he's now with Kyler Murray in the draft. He's now number two, so he's most likely. And he's a local guy here in Florida. He actually goes to the same barber as I do. So.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty
proud about
that.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
Yeah.
I remember you mentioning that. Yeah, okay.
Goes to my barber shop, so. And
is he a nice guy?
I don't know. I haven't met him, but my barber tells me he
no,
is.
No, what is your barber? Oh, he said he was? Okay, cool.
Yeah, and his brother also comes as well. I think his brother plays football, but he's not as good as.
Oh, no, his brother Joey Bosa?
Yeah.
Oh, Joey's amazing.
Oh, my bad.
Do you not remember Joey Bosa?
I do not remember him.
Oh yeah, Joey Bosa was plays for the Chargers. He was the number three pick. He was an All American at Ohio State.
That's number three.
Actually, I think Joey was better in my opinion. In college, I would have picked Joey over Nick. Now I think Nick was tested a little better. Nick might be a slightly better athlete, but Joey's really good. Oh yeah.
Oh. Let's go back to recruitment real quick. Five-star quarterback DJ Uiagalelei said commitments date. He's choosing between Clemson, Oregon, and I think Michigan. Where do you think he'll go?
Well, he was at the spring game this week for Clemson last week. Sorry, and he is going to be at Oregon spring game. It's pretty much been Clemson or Oregon pretty much the whole time, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think Clemson, it would be a major upset if Oregon's able to steal him. He's slightly favored for Clemson for several reasons, but yeah. But you never know. He's a West Coast kid. Oregon are heck of recruiters, you know, Mario Cristobal and Marcus Arroyo.
Woo!
And he's really good. I mean, he's the number six rated player. He's the number one first rated quarterback, so. Hopefully, we can steal him. I mean, it'd be awesome. But if you've asked me right now, I would lean to Clemson. And the experts are leaning towards Clemson right now. So.
Clemson is where the roads are leading. You want to predict the NBA bracket, like the first round, at least?
Sure.
Okay, who will win between the series between the Brooklyn Nets and the 76ers?
Sixers.
Magic, Raptors.
Raptors.
Clippers, Warriors.
Oh, Clippers made the playoffs?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Seed, yeah.
Oh, nice. Warriors.
San Antonio, versus, oh, the page pulled away. Gosh, hold on, guys. Hold on here. Spurs and Nuggets.
You know, Spurs are, they've been there so many times. They have a lot of experience. The Nuggets are really good this year. I'm going to go Nuggets.
And you went to Nuggets game last year.
I did, against Timberwolves.
Pacers, Celtics.
That's a good series. You know, just because I really like Brad Stevens and they have some superstars on that team, I'm going to take Celtics, but I don't know. If Pacers win, I wouldn't be shocked.
OKC, Blazers. Portland Trail Blazers.
Oh, yeah, that's another good series. I'm gonna go Blazers. Who has the home court advantage? Blazers, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Blazers. It'll be close though.
Detroit Pistons at the Bucks.
Bucks. Hey, Bucks might win it all. Kinda wanting it. Kinda rooting for the Bucks to win it all. Kinda Midwest team. Brennan, yeah.
And finally, Utah Jazz at the Rockets.
Well, you know, I always like the Jazz. It's a crappy break. That's who they draw in the first round. Oh my gosh. That's not good. They don't play Rockets very good. I'm Rockets, but
yeah, bad. Which they say Harden might win the MVP, or he's that good.
No. Well, he won it last year.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he's still that good though.
Yeah. Well, I want Giannis. Giannis should win it.
Yeah, he should.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's stud, man. I mean, look what he did to Milwaukee. Milwaukee's never been anything but a bottom feeder, and they're now had the number one overall record in the NBA this year.
Capitalize this time around because
give it to Giannis. Give it. Giannis deserves the MVP in my opinion. He's okay. Harden's a great scorer. He's a great scorer. But, you know, he's a terrible defensive player. He doesn't – his team at times, you know, he lifts his team up in a way. But he holds on to the ball. He's very much an isolation player. I don't love James Harden's game. I don't. He's a great player, scores a lot of points, great scorer. He's a good passer. He's a great offensive player in general. But I just don't love his game. I love Giannis. Giannis can do it all. Giannis is a great defensive player. He's a great shooter. He can get to the rack. He can rebound. He's a good team player. He's a good passer. I mean, literally, he can do it all. He's just a complete player. I think he's the best player in the NBA. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the NBA. And I think he should win the MVP. That's my opinion on that one.
I think he should. I think this year definitely perform. Random question of the week. What is your favorite wild animal? Elephant, tiger, lion, or leopard?
There's only four I can choose between?
Yeah.
My favorite's cheetah, FYI. It'd be the leopard. Yeah, it is the leopard of those ones. But it would be cheetah.
And is fish a pet? Can fish be a pet?
Of course. My dad raised fish, so yeah.
Did you see the Joker trailer?
No, I'm not big into those movies, but I'll check it out. Who's playing the Joker?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, he'd be good.
You think, okay, before seeing that trailer, do you think he's the perfect guy for the Joker?
Yeah, he's a very good actor. And the thing is, the sad thing is I hope he doesn't die because Joaquin's that crazy that he'd kill himself. So hopefully he doesn't die like Ledger after the movie. Joaquin Phoenix is unquestionably one of the best actors in Hollywood.
I believe it's going to be the beginnings of the Joker. I don't think. You know, you'll see the end, like him dying. I think it's probably before he meets Batman, I think. So I think that's...
No, I mean die in real life.
Oh, yeah. I know most of the Joker characters, like the actors kind of get a little bit weird after the movie. I mean, after, like, they make
the good thing is Joaquin's super weird, so he doesn't really have to get any weirder.
Tyler, how can people reach you online?
TurnerCast.
At TurnerCast, and of course, you'll be writing an article, I guess, about you're probably putting your picks on the blog as well, probably eventually.
My picks for I've not been writing as much recently.
It's okay.
I've been concerned with other stuff, but yeah, I'm gonna get back to writing, putting some stuff up.
Yeah,
I'll write something on the Masters here in a day.
Yeah, please do the SportsCast. The latest article is by Justin Riley, Fields of Dreams. Talks about Derek Gore from Syracuse and how he's a running back. I think played for Alabama for a little bit, got cut, played for a smaller college in Louisiana, and is expected to do well in the draft this year. So don't think it'll be first round, but you never know.
Oh, cool.
Anyways, Tyler, I appreciate you coming on to the Afternoon Sportscast.
All right, thanks, dude. I appreciate it.